About 10 days ago or so, I came upon a line of scripture from St. Matthew's Gospel that's just been sticking in my head. And that was from the 24th chapter, the 16th verse, and it said, "And because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of many has grown cold. But those who endure to the end will be saved." I'm not too sure about endure to the end and be saved, what that's all about. But the line that got me was, because of the increase in lawlessness, the love of many has grown cold. And then I just see the events unfolding in front of me. Now, there are folks on either side of these events that probably have, and I'm sure have open hearts and have a well-reasoned decision. And the events we're all aware of, the overturning of Roe versus Wade. You know, as Catholics, we have traditionally held from contraception to natural birth. And yet, I know and love people that have had abortions. I know and love people who have a different perspective. I know and love people who really firmly support a woman's right to choose and reproductive rights. Then we have the January 6th Commission. You know, I know and love people that really abhor Donald Trump. And I know and love people that really love Donald Trump. We have our economic woes. Those of you that are retired, if you have a retirement fund, you're just sort of watching it drop like a hot rock. And you're going, "Oh, crap. I got to be a greeter at Walmart now or what?" You know? Didn't I pick a wrong time to retire? We look at missiles crashing into shopping malls in Ukraine. And the Ukrainians saying, that's not a military target. And Russia saying, "Oh yeah, you guys are making this and that." And back and forth and back and forth. Because of the increase in lawlessness, the love of many has grown cold. That's really easy to do. I mean, those are not simple things. It's not like, "Gee, what'll I have for breakfast?" And yet we have the first reading today, and we have this reading about consolation and comfort, and the holy city Jerusalem holding us and nursing us at her abundant breasts like a mother with a child. We have the second reading where St. Paul, and often this is kind of lost on us, circumcision or non-circumcision, and we're like, "What's that have to do with male parts? I mean, you know what?" Well, this was really representing the Jewish and the Gentile communities. And they were like this. Pro-choice, women's rights, anti-abortion. Never Trump or pro-Trump. It's crashing. Because of the increase in lawlessness, the love of many has grown cold. So how do you decide? what, how do we sort through this stuff? Where's the right answer? And I know I search my heart on these things. Because as I said, and I'm sure you guys too, you have people that you love on whatever the subjects were that are on either side of the argument. And then it gets down, not even these huge arguments, but run-of-the-mill, I mean, everyday things that we deal with in our lives. For example, driving back from South Carolina with my wife. We have two radically different approaches to driving. I think I've shared that with you. The drive is ordinarily 12 hours. We got into West Virginia, and we sat on the interstate for hours because the interstate went from three lanes to two to go through some rotten tunnel, and the roads were jammed. So the 12-hour trip became a 15-hour and a half-hour trip, and we were fit to be tied. Because she didn't want to drive fast. She wanted, the speed limit was 70. She wanted to go 60 because it was dark and she was scared. If the speed limit was 70, I wanted to get home because I was tired. I wanted to drive 80. That doesn't go well together. Got up in the morning, we weren't speaking. We had to sort of work through that. It can be our day-to-day living things that we struggle with. So how do we get through this? I suggest to you that we approach it from the perspective of our "be still and know that I am God" prayer. Because what I have experienced is if you get wrapped up in thinking about all of these things, it's almost like a rabbit hole that you can go down and it doesn't work. Because if I have different thoughts from Bobby, then we go back and forth and we're wrong on this. She's wrong on this. And I am pretty sure my wife is wrong on the driving thing, by the way. So the hard thing to do is not to think, but to be present to this loving God. To be present. Because what happens when you think? I had shared with you guys that a year ago, September, I got a speeding ticket after church going through Rising Sun, right? Missed me. Just bummed me out. What happens is when I start thinking about it, all of a sudden I'm in front of the mayor of Rising Sun, right, Mayor Court, telling about PPP, predatory police practice, and that they're absolutely wrong in giving me this ticket because Officer Osborne was a horse's gazelle. But you see, where am I when I start thinking about that? I'm no longer present here. I'm no longer here in the presence of God. But when I start thinking about that event, I'm at the event itself. See how your thoughts take you there? Take you to the argument that you had? All I have to do is bring up the drive back from South Carolina, and all of a sudden I'm in the car telling my wife, "You're going to get us killed because you're slowing down on the interstate. Everyone's driving 80, we're going 60. That's a death threat." But all of a sudden we're fighting again. See, I'm over here. That doesn't do anything in terms of relieving my issues or reconciling me with the Lord. Now, here's something that I've been working on and studying and trying to figure out how to do. Observing thought is not thinking. Thinking is a different process. So observing thought versus thinking. If I'm thinking, I'm at the event. My mind goes there. I am located there. If I'm thinking about the drive, if I'm thinking about someone that has a different opinion on women's rights, if I'm thinking about whatever it is I'm thinking about, I'm there. But if I observe the thought in a way like observing a cloud, cloud comes over, I see the thought, but I don't think about it. Then I can still stay in the presence of God because I'm not going away. Now, many of us, you know, we commit ourselves, we're going to say our prayer, we get up in the morning, we light our candle, we get our little reflection book, we sit down, we read two words, and all of a sudden we're thinking about what we got to do the rest of the day in our mind. And then we go, why should I bother? This doesn't work. I tried to pray once, and it didn't work. Well, I can almost hear God saying to us, of course not. I know how, you know, but it's practice is what it is. Think about those of you that are artists, or teachers, or musicians. You took time to learn a craft. You learned. You think about the great composers. They talk about their teachers. They had teachers. That they learned the craft, and once they learned the craft, then the miracle came through that. Those of you that are teachers, you had to do student teaching. You had to go learn to be a teacher. But the best teachers that you've ever had are the ones that learned how to do it, and then it flowed naturally through them. If you have a poet or a musician or an artist, they learned the craft. They took hours and hours and hours and hours and years of practice. But once they learn the craft, then the miracle comes through. That's what prayer is like. When we come before God in prayer, we got to get out of the way. We got to get our brain out of the way. And when you realize that you're thinking, just come back and say, I'm thinking about that. Observing the thinking isn't thinking. You observe it like a cloud. And then you stay present. And your only prayer in that might be, teach me, Lord. Show me. Show me. That's what I can offer in terms of these huge issues that we face. Because getting in a push and pull situation is not productive. It's not productive or helpful for me. It's not productive or helpful for the other person. And the only thing that I can offer is when you run into those things and you're looking in your heart and you're trying to decide, bring it before the Lord. Bring it to his altar. And then get out of the way. Not just thinking. Get out of the way. Because of the increase in lawlessness, the love of many has grown cold. Don't let your love grow cold. Don't let your love grow cold because you're fighting with somebody that you care for, a spouse, parent, child. Because you love someone that's on either side of the Roe versus Wade amendment issue. Don't let your love grow cold. Don't let your love grow cold because you're worried about your finances or because you're sick and tired about hearing about the January 6th commission. Don't let your love grow cold. Bring the issue
to the Lord.
Get out of the way. When you realize that you're thinking about something out here, what am I going to make for breakfast? I got a meeting coming up. I want to play solitaire on my phone. Come back. For those who endure to the end will be saved.